one which I'm scared of giving, but it's Torah, so we're going to learn it, and it's a very appropriate time during between Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. And yeah, Bezrat Hashem. I'll just start off with a story. I was once in Beit Shemesh. Yeah, I didn't make enough photocopies of the source sheets, guys, so it's like a balagan. It's all over the place. Sorry, guys. Crazy day. You want to make photocopies?
Yeah, sure.
Stay there. Okay. This, you got it? This is, okay. Is there a halacha chiyuv to make
aliyah?
How many?
A bunch. 10,
8,
whatever.
I love
Rockland,
the only one who knows that he's the copy machine.
No idea.
Not even
the Rebbeim,
though.
I don't know. I heard you're doing it. Yeah, it's hard. It's too much. You know, let's start with the halacha, and we'll get to the shkaf at the end. I'll save it for you if there's time. Okay. So, who's the first guy who God told to make aliyah?
Avram
was definitely big into this aliyah thing. Who was told about this whole living in the land of Israel thing is a big thing after Avram? Yitzchak. Who after that? Yaakov. After that?
Yosef.
Buried in the land. Yaakov buried in the land. After that, Moshe at the burning bush. So it's definitely a big thing, this whole thing about living in the land of Israel. It's definitely a big thing in Judaism. I don't think we really need a shiur about that. Anyone who just opens up Tanakh, it's like, Eretz Yisrael is like kind of obsessed with that. But the question is, this is a halachic shir. Is there a halachic chiyuv, absolute halachic obligation to live here, or is it a maila, a nice thing, an awesome thing, depending on your hashkafa, but or is it actually halachically something? That's what we're going to try to talk about. We're going to shtag about it tonight. I don't know if we're going to have the absolute conclusion. Okay, so the first place to start in that sugya is the pasuk in Bamidbar, where the Torah teaches us in Lamed Gimel Nun Gimel, Vahurashtem et ha'aretz. Not in the source sheet either, somewhere in my knapsack, but you'll just follow me. Vahurashtem et ha'aretz, and you shall settle the land, or what does Yerusha mean?
Inherit.
So like it shouldn't just be for you, it should be for your children. V'yishavtem ba, and you should
dwell in it.
Yishuv. Ki lachem natati et ha'aretz l'hashtetetav, because I gave you this land in order to inherit it. The Torah gives a directive to the Jewish people in the desert to conquer the land of Israel. Very nice. But, of course, the question is that a directive for that generation, specifically for them, or is it an everlasting mitzvah that every generation has a mitzvah to conquer land, right? And really, from Pshat, it could go either way, okay? So, from that pasuk, it's unclear. So, says the Ramban, right? Shul right over there, big Zionist. Nitzavenu lareshet at haaretz. We have a commandment to conquer the land. Asher natana el itale levatenu laAvraham Yitzchak leYaakov. Lo nazvena biyazu atenu mina umot olishvama. And we cannot leave the land abandoned from the nations or for desolation. Okay. So Nachmanides, coming from Spain, where did he end his life?
Israel.
Here, in the Holy Land, right? He had his famous Aliyah, the Akko, to Yerushalayim, and a bunch of. He actually writes this in Spain, I believe, that there is a mitzvah which God commanded us in every generation. I'm sorry, I didn't bring it here. But Ramban does say very clearly, in every single generation, every Jew has an obligation to live in the land of Israel, says the Ramban. Okay, it's based on this pasuk. Obviously, he's not making it up, but that's the famous position of the Ramban. Everybody got it? Everybody cool?
Is that time sensitive?
No.
Could that just mean by the time you die, like at some point get to Israel, or like right now?
Ah, that's a good kasha. Can I wait till I'm 50 and do it? That's a good question. It's not clear from the Ramban. It would seem like any other mitzvah, you should do it as soon as possible.
Is it a mitzvah chiyuvi?
According to the Ramban, it is an obligatory mitzvah. Does that make it a sin not to do it? He didn't say that explicitly, but generally, if something is a command and you don't do it, it's a sin. Okay, that's Ramban's position. Where does the Ramban get this from? I tell you, when I was in 11th grade, I read this Ramban for the first time in the Gurus Beis Medrash of YU, and I was shocked. I thought the Ramban was a crazy fanatic. Aliyah is a nice thing, but like an obligatory thing, and like he even goes on to say that the mitzvahs and chutz la'aretz. Just practice until we get back there. So I was like, that Ramban, he's too crazy. He's radical. Ramban Nachmanides. Okay, we'll talk about the Ramban soon. But where is he getting it from? So, one of the most famous Gemaras which he gets it from is source number two, which you guys don't have, so I'll read it out. Ketuvos Kuf Yud. Should I get it? I have it.
Is that what the rabbi doesn't let him?
That's a different Gemara. That's a Gemara I learned yesterday in the Gemara in Brachos. Where there's a Gemara where Rav Yehuda was against making Aliyah, he held that you're not allowed to leave Bavel. Once we're stuck in Bavel, we have to stay there. And the other rabbis who held you have to make Aliyah were like trying to sneak around him. So there are different opinions in the Gemara. There were opinions that once we got stuck in the Gaulis, we're not allowed to leave. We're supposed to stay in Babylon. Just for the sake of honesty. That is an opinion in the Gemara. But I think there's a much more widespread opinion, which is more similar to this one, the Gemara in Ketubos Daf Kuf Yud. Tan Rabbanan, Le'olam Yador Adam Be'eretz Yisrael. A person should always live in Eretz Yisrael. Afilu B'ir Sheruva Ovdei Kochavim. Even in a city which is all
idolaters,
you should always live. So, I don't know, are there any cities here which are idolaters?
Ramallah.
Yeah.
Ramallah
is a Muslim. Bethlehem. Technically, depends on you. So better to live in Beit Lechem with Ruth than to live in Borough Park, says the Gemara. Don't make him ish yesh l'alaka. Anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's like he has a god. Anyone who lives in Chutz Laaretz, it's like he doesn't have a god. Okay, and this is a very, very intense Gemara. It's a Gemara which is quoted by the Sifra and quoted by Rashi. And it's intense. What do you guys think of it? What does it mean that if you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's like you have a god, and if you live in Chutz Laaretz, it's like you don't have a god? What's the Gemara trying to say there? Tough question. Yeah?
I mean, the goal of Judaism, or I wouldn't necessarily say the goal. The goal of Judaism is to have a society in Israel. So if we don't have that society in Israel, we can have all the rituals, but we're not getting any closer to where we
can be. You're saying you're not having a society in Israel?
I
live in America, there's still a society in Israel.
Oh, very good. So what you guys are saying right now is actually a big argument about what's the purpose of Judaism. If you're going to say perhaps the purpose of Judaism is, like you're saying, to have Jewish people living in our land, developing our culture, and in that case, like if that's what it's all about, and if you live outside of the start, you're missing the boat. If on the other hand you want to take the Hirschian model, I'd say the Rav Kook model. Rav Hirsch had a different model. We said our goal is to be Or LeGoyim, to be individual lights and like blazing out into the world, showing them godliness. And if that's the purpose, then this Gemara, we have to struggle with this Gemara. How do we understand this Gemara? Or maybe there are other opinions that disagree with this Gemara. But, good.
Don't we have that, maybe not specifically there, but we have in Torah and Tanakh, we have Reuben, Gad, and half of Menashe. Mm. They do live outside of the border, but even though they're living outside of the border, like it's okay, but it's not ideal. They should be
part of the nation. They should fight with them. But as long as you're fighting with them, then you're still part of the nation. Yeah. Okay. As long as you're still part of the nation, so you consider yourself part of it, then it might be different than if you're disconnected. We'll talk about that.
Sure.
In fact, we'll talk about it now because I'll forget later. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we all know Chabadnikim. Many of them, of course, do live in Eretz Yisrael for Chabad, and the Rebbe loved Eretz Yisrael, talked about Eretz Yisrael all the time. But not all Chabadnikim live in Eretz Yisrael, right? In fact, the Rebbe didn't necessarily encourage all of his students to live in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the Svara? How did the Rebbe justify that? So there's one obvious one, and then there's more of a lumnish one. What's the obvious reason why he told his... to be shlichim. We need a mechazik. Until Mashiach comes, we need to bring the light of Mashiach.
Rav Kook says you could be shlichim also, but you should do it on a two-year or a three-year cycle where they always come back.
Right, as a shlichus type of thing at the
podium. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Chabad says, no, you have to be part of the community and mamash raise it up. So that's the, on a technical reason, the machlokas between it. But on a lumnish level, he reads this Gemara, if you're yadur adam eretz, if you're living in Chutz Laaretz, if you're like, mamash, I live there, my culture is there, then that's a problem, says the Baba Trebi. But if my culture is in Eretz Yisrael and Mashiach, I'm just stuck in Chutz Laaretz for a couple of maybe 50, 60, 70 until Mashiach comes, then the Baba Trebi says it's okay.
Doesn't the Rambam then say though that even if you, that specifically if you build yourself a new house or if you just planted your new crop and use that as an excuse not to come to Israel, that's a way to get the
Maybe. I don't know. But we're talking about the Rambam in a minute. But awesome. That's a perfect lead-in. Okay, so you talk about the Rambam and his position, and we talked, again, this is a 30-minute spattering of a huge, great Svarim. This is all really just to wet your guys' tongues and help you guys read your own Svarim. By the way, I may have brought it, I think I left it in TVA, but there's an amazing sefer on this topic by Tzvi Glatt. It's called Rising from the Dust, something like that. Rav Lichtman sells it. It's an amazing sefer. It's written by a 21-year-old Bnei Akiva guy who was a madrich for my rabbi. I was just schmoozing with him. He wrote it with a Bnei Akiva guy. It's an amazing sefer. It's just all makoros about the mitzvah.
What should I say about the topic?
We'll get there in a second. Awesome. So, but just before we go to the Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Rambam, okay, I want to just note that there are many great rabbis who took the Ramban's position, or a Ramban men. Tzvi Glatt lists about 20, 30 rabbis, big rabbis that you've all heard of. Netziv, a few more, the Maharitz, the Chida, the Chatan Sofer. My intention is to show that one has more of an obligation to make Aliyah in our times. And Meir Simcha Zvist, the Meshach Chachma, Rabbi Yitzchak Alechan, inspector, dwelling in Israel is equal to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Vilna Gaon we'll talk about also in a minute. All of them were in the Ramban camp, which felt that we have an obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Also, if you look in the Pnei Halacha, he immediately quotes the Ramban as his main man that he looks towards. He agrees with him hashkafically because Ramban is very connected to both Kabbalah and Pshat. And Pnei Halacha goes in the Ramban camp, a person obligated to do that. Ramban criticizes the Rambam. And he says, how could the Rambam not list this as one of the 613 mitzvahs? And he goes off to show all the makoros and the gemaros and Shulchan Aruch and all that seem to indicate that there is an obligatory mitzvah chiyuvit to live in Eretz Yisrael in every single generation. One more note about the Ramban, which is interesting, is that he doesn't only hold it's an individual obligation, but there is a communal obligation for us to have sovereignty over every part of the land. And that will be another reason to celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut, because it's not just about, oh, maybe as an individual I could have made Aliyah before we had a state. But there's a specific mitzvah for us to rule over this land in every way, and that, Rashtem, that's derived from the verse, and that's what the Ramban says. It's another thing we're celebrating with Yom HaAtzmaut. One question, then we'll get back.
What land is he talking about? Like, is that Greater Israel? Is that Shlomo's Israel, Yehuda Israel?
Great question. Not for this year. Look in Pnei Halacha. He starts off, or go online, Ravidim, Rav Melamed talks all about that. But it's a big topic of how do we define Eretz Israel exactly, and what biblical or, you know, loaded topic. Not for today. Gevalt. So that's the Ramban. I want to move on to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's very important. Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you ask me, is trying to deal with a very, very basic problem to the thesis that I've been trying to sell you guys. What's the big problem? If there is an obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, what kasha immediately emerges?
All the rabbis living outside are kosher.
Exactly. What about all of Jewish history? What about all the, not just Jewish, what about all the rabbis nowadays? Or not rabbis, what about all the good Yerush Shemayim Tabayidin who didn't live in Eretz Yisrael? Are they all sinners? Are they all just like, they keep the other 612, but this one they forgot about? Like, that's a really strong kasha. So Rav Moshe, amongst others, I think he's trying to deal with that question, subconsciously. Like, he might not say that, but I think that's really what he's trying to deal with. Yeah.
Is it such a problem that someone like, even like a gadol, like, didn't fulfill all 613? Like, they weren't kings, they weren't women, they weren't Kohens.
You're saying it wasn't applicable at the time, so
like, it didn't apply necessarily to them. And also, even the fact that there's one mitzvah you didn't do, I don't think even is such a, like, oh, right. We can't listen to their Torah.
Okay. One they didn't do. I thought you were going to say, you're saying legit. I think you're going to say a different answer, which is the more simple answer, which is, yeah, the gadolim, they're there because they have to be there. Because they have a heter to go mechazik chutzlaritz Judaism. That's not such a kasha. The question is, the non-gadol and the not big rabbis, what are they still doing in chutzlaritz? Maybe the problem is that they're looking at the gadolim and they're saying, well, the gadolim aren't moving, so therefore I don't have to go.
Couldn't you ask if someone like Rav Moshe Feinstein, whose following was thousands of people, if he would make Aliyah, thousands of people.
Indeed.
The students would follow him and make Aliyah.
Indeed, many have made that argument. I think for Tzvi Glatt's whole point, the whole reason he wrote that book was to try to say, hey, big rabbis, make Aliyah, everyone will follow. That's exactly what people are trying to say. Okay, anyways, so let's learn Rav Moshe Feinstein inside. So Rav Moshe and Egros Moshe, Ebenezer 102. So it's obvious in our times that it is not an incumbent mitzvah upon each person, not a mitzvah chiyuvit. For if so, one would be forbidden to live outside the land. The only prohibition, as Rama mentioned, is for residents of Eretz Yisrael to leave the land with the intention of settling in Chutz La'aretz. In other words, Rav Moshe admits that if you live in Eretz Yisrael to then leave to Chutz La'aretz, right, like Eli Melech and Ruth, that's not cool. That's not good.
There are still people in this, there's still rabbis that, like, they come here to study, like, to learn for a little bit in Nicola or whatever, and then they go back to America and...
Yeah, but they may not have lived here, like... You know, their intention was to stay.
Okay.
Now, had it been prohibited for diaspora Jews as well, the Rambam should have stated in general terms, it is forbidden to dwell outside the land, unless there is a severe famine outside the land. In other words, the Rambam doesn't say it's forbidden to dwell outside the land. The positive commandment is not obligatory. Rather, one who lives there fulfills a mitzvah. Okay. In other words, Moshe Feinstein is famously being mechadesh, that this is a mitzvah. But what type of mitzvah is it?
Human.
Very good. It's a mitzvah that if it comes up, you did a good thing, but you don't have to do it. Okay? Like, what else? What's the other famous example? We don't find too many of these, but there's one other famous that you don't have to.
So you talk to me this year on
that. Tzitzit is the other great example where you're not obligated to put on a four-corner garment, but if you put on a four-corner garment, then you have to wear tzitzit. The Sazer Moshe must be that Eretz Yisrael is like that. If you do it, it's an amazing thing. Gevalt. But it doesn't, you don't have to do it. You're not a sinner if you don't do it. Okay? Technically, you do not have to put on tzitzis unless you're wearing a four-cornered garment. However, the Gemara does point out that somebody who chooses not to wear tzitzis at a time of God's wrath will be punished. So that was another thing Rav Tzvi Lad points out in his book. He's like, yeah, you sure you want to be in that category of that type of person who opts out of tzitzis, who opts out of the incredible opportunity of a lifetime called Yishvei Yisrael. But nonetheless, it's not an absolute obligation, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, seemingly, I think Lubavitcher Rebbe was also in that camp, where I was reading him today, and he's saying, like, it's a machlok, it's not everyone's on the same page that you absolutely have to live here. And I'm not sure, but I think even possibly Rav Soloveitchik might have been in that camp to believe that this is not necessarily an obligatory mitzvah that every single Jew must do. It's something that every Jew should consider strongly, but it's not necessarily something that every Jew has to do. Okay. Now, that's the position. It's a very important position. What kasha? Can any of you guys think of a kasha on this position of Rav Moshe Feinstein? So let's look at the Rambam itself. And let's see.
I mean, the kasha was assuming with tzitzis.
Why would you mess up on that?
I'm saying, rabbis always just tell us, like, don't use the logic, like, oh, if I don't wear a four-cornered garment, like, then I don't have to do tzitzis at all. Well, I'm just not going to wear it. Like, you have to wear it also. Like, it's like...
God gave me an amazing opportunity.
In the end, like...
I think the only difference might be that when it comes to tzitzis, you're not losing anything by not wearing the tzitzis. Why not? What do you have to lose? Whereas when it comes to Chutz La'aretz, let's be honest, there are good other factors why a person might want to live in Chutz La'aretz. Right? Family, this, that. There are other things, and therefore one could understand why one moment off that. On the other hand, if a person has studied all the milos and the incredible things that are said about living in Eretz Yisrael, a person might think twice about missing that opportunity. Just on hashkafic level. Okay? Now, let's read the Mishnah Torah inside. First we have Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Malachim, Heitad. Aser, let's say, Me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz le'olam. It's aser to leave from the land of Israel to Chutz La'aretz forever. El lamod Torah olusa isha lotzei min akum. Except to learn Torah, or to get married, or to be saved from the non-Jews. Okay? Do any of those apply nowadays, by the way? If a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, practically speaking, would he have any of these heters?
Maybe go away.
Learning Torah, there's a lot of Torah in Eretz Yisrael.
Well, if you need to leave for a doctor, who you can only be found in...
Oh, for sure. I think he's talking about on a permanent level. He's not talking about on a visit. He's talking about on a permanent level.
Rama always told us about, like, the only time he ever left Israel was when his daughter needed, like, a doctor outside of...
Right.
So no. Is not leaving the same as having to move
there? Okay, no. Let me clarify. There is a completely separate sugya about, let's say, me. I live in Eretz Yisrael. Can I go on a shlichus for a month? Can I go to Uman? Can I just go to visit my parents in Chutz La'aretz? That is a sugya, but that's not the sugya that I'm talking about today. Today I'm talking about living, dwelling, like making my place of residence. Those are two separate topics. And yes, there are great Yidden who will never try not to leave Eretz Yisrael as much as possible because for halachic and hashkafic reasons. But it's a different topic. I myself don't enjoy leaving Eretz Yisrael. I try not to, but there are other things in my life that kind of obligate me to do that, and I make the best once I'm there. Ava or to be saved, that wouldn't apply nowadays. Maybe for a wife, if there's a particular girl, it could apply, but I think there's plenty of good women.
Go to Bar-Ilan. The Rambam says that if you wouldn't that contradict himself by saying that if you want to make Aliyah and your wife doesn't, you can force her without even giving her the
tukum? Very good. So we're getting there. We're going in 1 second. Very good. Unless there's a famine, like who went to Chutz La'aretz when there was a famine?
Yaakov
and Abraham. Elimelech too, but we're not so happy about Elimelech. Until it became, basically for money reasons you're allowed to, for parnasa reasons. But again, this is talking about intense money reasons. I'm not talking about the difference between $60,000 and $40,000. I'm talking about someone who's starving and he can go back to Chutz La'aretz with the Rambam's. Okay. Okay, fine. So that's the Rambam that the Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoting. He's being medayik that it doesn't say that it's usher, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's saying you're not allowed to leave, but it doesn't say a person must is chayiv to be there, which I think is a reasonable diak. However, Tzvi Glad points out in his book that the Rambam is just quoting the Gemara. This is straight up from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and that's the language that the Gemara uses. So to be medayik, that because the Gemara uses that language, that it's usher to leave, that he only implies it's usher to leave, is a big chiddush and not the way that the other commentators understood the Rambam. I mean, the classical commentators, the Mishnah Torah, you know, who comment on the Mishnah Torah, did not read this like Rav Moshe Feinstein said it. It's a chiddush of Rav Moshe. Okay? But there's another problem. If you look at the next Rambam, what does the Rambam say? Lo olam yadur adam be'eretz Yisrael, afilu be'yirshur ruba akum. Now that we're Talmidim Chachamim, we know that the Rambam is quoting what? Where's the Rambam getting this from? This quote, Lo Lami Adam Eretz Yisrael.
The Gemara
in Ketubas that I started off with, right? The Gemara in Ketubas said that exact same phrase, and Rambam's codifying it. Filu B'Yir Sherei B'Akum. The exact word from the Gemara. A person should always live in Eretz Yisrael. Va'al Yadur B'Chutz La'aretz. Don't live, okay? Dot. And not only that, the person doesn't say, well, maybe it's just in a Gadata. No, a person should always try to live in Eretz Yisrael. But, says the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, who many of the students made Aliyah, this law, and it's on the second page, this law applies the statement of the Talmud, a person should always live in Israel, that is even nowadays, unlike Rabbi Chaim's opinion, and the Gra, maybe I didn't write it explicitly, but the Gra says he's medayiket from the Rambam. He said, the Rambam said, Lo lam yadur adam, that's not a gadata, halach lamaisa, a person must live in Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, pretty big dude, Shulchan Aruch says, if a slave wants to ascend to Eretz Yisrael, we force his master to go up with him. Right? If I'm a slave, I want to go to the land of Israel, and my master doesn't want to, I can leave. Okay? I can go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, if it was just a nice thing to do, to live in Eretz Yisrael, then how can the slave do that? But the Shulchan Aruch codifies that he can do that. And he says, this law applies at all times, even today when the heathens control the land. Mashma, that the mitzvah applies in all generations. And not only in a slave, but like we're saying, the Gemara, I forgot to bring it, but the Gemara explicitly says in Ketubos, Kuf Yud, that if a husband or wife want to make Aliyah, a person must make Aliyah. And if a woman doesn't want to make Aliyah, she loses her Ketubah. Now, if there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, then how can that be? Right? And therefore, the Rambam codifies this too, and the Shulchan Aruch codifies that too. So therefore, many, I would venture to say that most, I don't even say the vast majority, of poskim seem to say that even according to the Rambam, there would seem to be an obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? The Ramban, clear. The Rambam, not so clear. We do have the Rav Moshe Feinstein way of looking at things, trying to understand how there's Chutz La'aretz Jewry, and therefore there's definitely what to rely upon. But there are a lot of sources which, in my and other opinion, and Rav Avadia Yosef says this, and Rav Malamed says this very clearly, disagree and hold that, like that even the Rambam would hold that there is an obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael. Why he didn't codify it as one of the 613 mitzvahs is a big discussion. Maybe he quoted in other places. Maybe like Rav Kook says, it's the fundamental mitzvah of the Torah. It's the most important mitzvah of the Torah, and therefore the Rambam.
Is that Yochi Hashem of the Torah?
Yeah, it is.
He counts it as one of the...
I think so. It's a long disir. You go online, there's a Gvaldik Shirim about why the Rambam did or didn't codify it. But now you get a little bit of a taste of the sugya. You have the Ramban, who's clear, the Rambam, who everyone argues about, and who some try to make a deal from this Rambam that there's no obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael. Halacha l'maisa. What would I tell you guys? I'll tell you my own personal story. This is something that I very much struggled with when I came to Yeshiva. It was not probably the biggest struggle that I struggled with. Because as we all know, there are great people, there are great rabbis who live in Chutz Laaretz. Clearly, there's a heter if you're going to make a big difference, and if you feel like you're going to make a much bigger difference in Chutz Laaretz than you would in Eretz Yisrael, clearly there are rabbis who will say that that is okay. And there are rabbis who will say no. There are rabbis in the Rav Kook camp that will say that it's more important in this specific generation, since this is the mitzvah of the generation, everyone should try to go to Eretz Yisrael. And there are rabbis like Lubavitch Rebbe that said, no, if you're going to make a bigger impact in Chutz Laaretz, then you should follow the rabbis who say that, go to Chutz Laaretz. So that was my, should I be an NCSY guy? Should I be a Kiruv guy in Cornell? Or should I go to Bar Ilan and, who knows, make it as a Shana Aleph Rebbe? I have no idea. That was exactly my struggle. Some of my friends went back. Some of my friends stayed. At the end of the day, I said, I want to give it a shot. It's a machlokas. I want to live a lechatchila type of life in every way, and I feel like I'll go to college here. I'll try to get a job here. I'll go to the army here. If I can get a job making a big impact on the world and really changing Am Yisrael here and Eretz Yisrael, I'll stay here. And because I love it here, it wasn't from a place of halach. I love it here. And if I can't get a job where I feel like I'm meaningfully changing the world, maybe I'll consider making a bigger impact in the world in Chutz Laaretz. That was my personal journey. But I think a person should be honest with himself if he knows honestly. It really, you're not going to make a difference in Chutz Laaretz than he would in Israel. He should definitely think about it, daven about it, learn about it, schmooze about it. But at the end of the day, a person, a decision like Aliyah has to come from deep within, from a deep love of Eretz Yisrael, a deep desire to do this. Or else you won't even survive the army. The army is so hard. If you're doing this because a rabbi told me to do it in Shana Aleph, you'll be out. If you're doing it only from a place of obligation but not desire, it won't be good for you and it probably won't be good for Eretz Yisrael. It needs to come from a place of deep yearning and desire. And for some of you, it'll be next year. And for some of you, maybe you'll say it's not realistic right now, but in 5 years, 10 years, whatever. I think that's okay. You have to know your situation. You have to know your family situation. But I will admit that I am on one part of. I am Harif in this part of in this sugya. I think that most poskim think that there is an obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael. I think there is a heter to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. But I think a much stronger halachic case could be made that there is an obligation, not just a nice thing. To live in Eretz Yisrael. That's my If you have personal questions about this, I'm happy. I'll make myself available. I know this is a big topic. Sorry if it's intense. And I think the pizza's coming, so you guys can still have pizza while I'm gone. And